In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, when we read the epistles of St. Paul, we're mainly reading letters written to former pagans. The Ephesians, people from Ephesus, people from Thessalonica, people from Corinth. These were people who had grown up in the world of the Roman Empire. It was a world of great military power, great engineering genius, but also a world that was extremely decadent. These people were not just used to leading immoral lives. Leading an immoral life was a way of life in the Roman Empire. It was just what you did. In other words, it was considered normal behavior in the Roman world to be immoral, what we know to be immoral. By that I mean like things like getting drunk, committing fornication, seeking after riches, and so on. This was the Roman way of life. And then this Jewish man named Paul comes upon the scene, comes into this Roman world. In fact, a Greek world that's been conquered by the Romans, and he preaches to them, and he says to them, God Himself has come upon this earth, and He has taught us the purpose for which we exist. He's redeemed us from our sins, and He's also taught us how we're supposed to live our lives. He's taught us the moral law. And these Gentiles, so many Gentiles in this pagan world converted upon hearing the preaching of this great missionary, St. Paul. And when they converted, of course, they completely changed their lives. They gave up that immoral life, that pagan life that they had been living up to that point. They started living as Catholics. At the same time, while they adopted this new life, they still had to struggle against their old habits. Old habits die hard, we say. And they had been living that way for so long. So it was difficult for them to give up these bad habits of sin. So we should not be surprised that we often hear St. Paul, when he speaks to these former pagans, encouraging them to refrain from sin, and especially sins of impurity. He often speaks to them about giving up sins of impurity. And the Church, Holy Mother Church, during this time of Lent, during the beginning period of Lent, we're almost to the halfway point of Lent, she wants us to listen to these words. During this time where we as Catholics, we voluntarily impose bodily penances upon ourselves. We chastise our flesh during this time willingly in order to unite with the passion of our Lord, but also to gain control over our lower self. She wants us to listen to these words of St. Paul. And both last week and this week, we hear St. Paul exhorting the Thessalonians and the Ephesians to abstain from immorality, to abstain from impurity. So I thought that it might be good for us just to go over these words, to listen to St. Paul talking to these new Catholics, the first Catholics that the world had seen, because he speaks also to us during this time of Lent. The Church has him speak to us during this time of Lent. So last week, St. Paul had this to say to the Thessalonians. This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from immorality, that every one of you learn how to possess his vessel in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. So what is interesting is when St. Paul is writing this epistle in Greek, he's using a word from God for God, the word theos for God, that translates in Latin to the word Deus. To this day, we still use the same word for God. And when we have the Latin Mass, it's the word Deus for God, which comes from theos. And also, there's this word Zeus. Ultimately, comes from the word Zeus, because Zeus was the highest of the Greek gods. He was the king of the gods. And so when the Greeks were paying homage to the higher powers, to the immortal gods, they were often praying to Zeus. But who was this Zeus? What were the stories about Zeus? Well, the stories about him were very terrible. The stories of the gods are really, really immoral stories. Zeus was a prolific adulterer. He was constantly begetting children with women who were not his wife. And so this kind of brings home to us what kind of world these people had come from, where when they were thinking of paying homage to God, the primary God is this immortal man who's a serial adulterer. And this brings home to us that there was just no notion of purity for these pagans, that it wasn't at all come into their mind that they should practice purity if their God was so impure. Then it was just simply normal for them to be impure. And what a different message it is to hear from the mouth of St. Paul, that this is the will of God. Now he's speaking about the true God, the God who became incarnate in our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the will of God, your sanctification. He wants you to be holy. And he uses this very interesting expression. He wants you to possess your vessel in holiness. Your vessel is your body. And St. Paul is communicating to them that contrary to the story of the gods about our true origin, where we come from a purely spiritual God who's given us a body, not for us to use however we want, but for us to use for our holiness. God wants to give us this body for our holiness. We're not to use it for impurity, to sully ourselves with sin, but we're to use it for our holiness. You might be familiar with the Greek story of our origin with the gods, where Zeus said, well, we're bored here on Mount Olympus. And Mount Olympus was the hangout of the gods, the home of the gods. They're up there, and they're drinking ambrosia forever, and they're bored. And so Zeus says, we got to find something to do with ourselves. So what we're going to do is we're going to make stuff on earth. And these things on earth, they will be our toys. They will be like our toys. And so he has all the gods shape these different creatures, we would call them, animals and plants and so on. And a particular god, Epimetheus, is assigned to give to each creature its powers. So Epimetheus, he goes through all these creatures and he's giving them like claws or a hide or a place to find refuge on the earth, all these powers. But he forgets about human beings. He doesn't give powers to human beings. They have nothing, you know. And so Prometheus, his brother, takes compassion on humans. And Prometheus decides what is he going to give to them to help give them some powers. He's going to give them intelligence. So he gives to human beings intelligence. And this was like what the Greeks and the Romans thought where they came from. That basically they're made to be the playthings of the gods. And they were neglected and kind of the last and afterthought of the gods. And from this perspective, if that was the whole meaning of their existence, as I say, they would have no notion of the need to be pure. No notion of the virtue of chastity, of purity. And here comes St. Paul giving them an entirely different notion of who God is. Purely spiritual being. He's created you for nothing, from nothing, and he's created you for himself, for eternal happiness in heaven. And you attain that precisely by living holily in this life, by using your body and soul for the good, restraining your passions, This is how you attain heaven. This is the will of God, your sanctification. You possess your vessel in holiness. So then, this week, St. Paul is speaking to the Ephesians, people from Ephesus, and he says this to these first Catholics, former pagans. But immorality and every uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as becomes saints. For know this and understand that no fornicator or unclean person or covetous one has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. So St. Paul explains to the Ephesians that not only must they avoid impure actions, they must also avoid impure talk. They must not even talk about impure things. It shouldn't be a subject of conversation among them. And he introduces this notion of cleanness and uncleanness that was so familiar to the Jews. Note that in the Old Testament, God had the Jews do certain practices. He said there are certain things that made you ritually unclean, certain physical things that you did that made you ritually unclean. And God did this in order to give them a sense of sin, to give them a sense of this fact that we know as Catholics that there are certain actions that I can do which will make me spiritually impure. The actions of my body have an effect on my soul, and they can stain my soul. So if I commit sin with my body, my soul is stained. My soul becomes unclean. And that if I die in a state of spiritual uncleanness, I cannot go to heaven. I must be spiritually pure. My soul must be spiritually pure for me to go to heaven when I die. St. Paul explained this to the Ephesians. And he says that definitely impurity, fornication, you know, even talking, impure talk, even these sorts of things will create in us a spiritual uncleanness such that we will not be able to possess the kingdom of God. We will not be able to go to heaven when we die. Now, this Christian idea of purity, which was introduced to the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, was communicated by the apostles, by St. Paul, to the likes of the Corinthians and the Thessalonians and the Ephesians and the Colossians and so on. It brought into the world a new reality, something new that the world had never seen, what we call the virgin martyr. The virgin martyr, those women in the early church who pledged themselves to virginity and ended up dying for their faith. So just a few decades after St. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in the early 100s, there was a woman named Hermione who was a virgin, and she died for her faith in the early 100s. And she was like an early nun, and she spent her time caring for the bodies of the sick. She set up something like a hospice, because another thing the pagans didn't have is they didn't have any hospitals. They didn't have this notion of setting up a place where the sick would be cared for. So Hermione embodied this Christian ideal where, on the one hand, she was pure in her own body. On the other hand, she was caring for the bodies of others, trying to restore them to health. And when it was found out that she was a Christian, she was brought before the judge. And one of the punishments that they imposed upon her was to strip her naked and put her into a red-hot copper vessel. You know, so in other words, you know, just to highlight this different perspective of the respect due to the body by Christians versus the pagans. The Christian is maintaining bodily purity. She's healing the bodies of others. Their response is, because you're practicing this faith, because you're living this way of life, we are going to disrespect your body and we're going to torture your body as a result. St. Hermione eventually had her head cut off, and we honor her to this day. So, my dear faithful, obviously today in our modern world, we have reverted to paganism. We're back to paganism. in the sense that it's just quite simply a way of life these days to live impurely. It's just what people do today. It's seen as normal. It's seen as acceptable. The life of purity preached by our Lord and the apostles doesn't seem to come into the minds of many people today. And so the point is that we still need this message. Because we're living in it once more in a pagan world, we still need this message of St. Paul. We need to listen to it, where he says to us, be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. We worship a purely spiritual God who is all holy, who wants us to live forever with him, dwell forever with him in heaven. But for that to happen, we have to imitate his spiritual holiness. And we do that partly by living a pure life, possessing our vessel in a state of holiness. I just want to add to St. Paul, be also imitators of Our Lady. You know, Our Lady is also given to us as this beautiful idea of a creature like us, but a creature who is immaculate, with no stain of sin, who lived perfect virginity, lived in bodily purity. We also want to imitate her, to have a devotion to her, especially if we struggle with impurity. We want to have a very great devotion to Our Lady. We want to pray to her the rosary, certainly, but also in time of temptations, have the habit of having recourse to her, to ask her to help us remain pure. So if we stay close to her, she will certainly assist us to possess our vessel in holiness and honor. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.